Chapter 39. While Jesse was still looking in his rearview mirror, something hit his front windshield and sent bits of safety glass flying into the cabin. After reflexively turning away, Jesse saw the hole in the glass and the spider web of cracks spreading out from it. "Suit," he said into his mic. "He just fired at me. He put one through my windshield, but we want him alive." "Are you sure about that, Jesse?" "No, but it's what we're going to..." Jesse didn't finish the sentence because a second bullet went through his side-view mirror. He was tempted to return fire, but he knew that it was much easier in the movies than it was in real life. It was difficult enough to hit a stationary target when you yourself were stationary. Hitting a moving target from a moving vehicle while your arm was bouncing and you were full of adrenaline was a scenario unlikely to produce the desired result. Jesse didn't want bullets ricocheting off brick or concrete. He didn't want stray bullets going through windows or doors or through the bodies of innocent pedestrians. Instead of returning fire, Jesse hit the gas pedal harder, surging forward, coming right up on the Sentra's bumper and ramming it. But if Jesse thought the Sentra would slow up or that the guy behind the wheel would stop shooting and surrender, he was wrong. The Sentra's back window blew out, and a storm of buckshot pellets tore into the Explorer's front grille. Steam poured out of the front of the old SUV. The Sentra sped up, the driver yanking left on his steering wheel, trying to make an impossible turn into a narrow alley between a body shop and the two gas pumps used by the local cab companies and limo services to fuel up their fleets. The Sentra didn't make it. When the front driver's side tire hit the curb, the little Nissan wobbled, tipped onto two wheels, then flipped over, skidding on its roof toward the gas pumps. Jesse jammed on his brakes. Suit jammed on his in turn. They both watched helplessly as the Sentra slammed into the pumps, one of which was being used to fill up an airport shuttle van. When the van driver saw what was happening, he took off, just clearing the pumps when the Sentra hit. At first, the fire was small but intense. Jesse and Suit were out of their vehicles, running, their sidearms drawn.
"I called it in," Suit said. "You get everybody out of there and then the body shop. I'll get the suspect. But that's an order. And don't approach the car unless I give you the go-ahead. He's heavily armed. Fired a handgun and a shotgun at me."
Suit did as he was told and detoured into the garage area. Jesse went straight to the Sentra. He put his 9mm at his side because even at 30 feet, he could see this would end badly for whoever was at the wheel of the Sentra. How badly depended on how quickly the fire spread. The roof of the car had withstood the impact pretty well, crushing down only slightly after flipping over. The driver was a bloody, twisted mess. He hadn't worn his seatbelt, and the airbag hadn't deployed. And because the car was upside down, the driver's body slumped on top of his head, his neck at an angle that most living humans could never have achieved. Jesse had seen a lot of dead bodies in his time, enough to know that the driver was no longer among the living. It was still important to get to his body, to retrieve as much evidence as possible, and to discover who this guy was. Jesse wasn't big on prayer, but as he approached the car, he found himself quietly muttering the outlines of a deal between himself and the Almighty. The heat was already nearly unbearable. Jesse tugged on the door handle, to no avail. He tried it again, harder, with the same result. Then he got as firm a grip on the door as he could, pressed his feet against the rear door, and pulled with all of his might. No good. With the weight of the car pressing down on the door, it was locked in place. He tried the back door. Same thing. He became aware that his lungs were burning, and that the air surrounding him was oven hot. The chemical stench of burning synthetics, melting plastic, and spilled gasoline filled his nose. Sirens, which only a second before seemed as distant as his ruined baseball career, now screamed in his ears so that he could hear nothing else. He became aware of people streaming out of the garage, running for cover. He turned toward the body shop and saw a blur of blue coveralled men spilling out onto the street, one of them tripping as he went. Jesse stood and ran, too. As he did, He spotted something on the ground near where the Sentra had hit the curb by the body shop. It had a familiar shape, the shape of a gun, an automatic. Jesse didn't want to pick it up with an ungloved hand, but there weren't many options, and there was even less time. He kicked it forward, hopefully not hard enough to flip over. He needed to keep at least one side of the grip unscratched. It slid beneath the rear end of his Explorer, just as a fire truck screeched to a halt behind it. Even as he ran, he cringed at the thought of the pistol crushed under the weight of the fire truck. Then there was a second of stillness and quiet, the likes of which Jesse had never experienced before. It wasn't that the world slowed down or turned on its side, not exactly. It was more like a brief moment of clarity. There was the chaos before him, the fire behind him, and a piece of the world that was his and his alone. Suddenly, that piece of the world exploded in a roar and blast of heat that blew his blue PPD baseball cap off his head and knocked him completely off his feet. The next thing he knew, Suit and Robbie Wilson were dragging him by the arms, the toes of his shoes and the knees of his pants scraping along the pavement. Then he was sitting on the back bumper of an ambulance, an oxygen mask on his face. Robbie Wilson was gone, but Suit was there, as was an EMT. He was a big kid, Tommy Simonetti, whom Jesse had known since he was in junior high. "You'll be all right, Chief," Tommy said. "You're not burned, and you don't check out as having a concussion." But Jesse was barely paying attention to Simonetti. He was paying far more attention to the question in Suit Simpson's eyes. It was the same question going round and round in his own head. Was that Peepers in there? He hoped for everyone's sake that it was, and that there'd be enough of him left so they could be sure.